for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, March the 31st, 1991. Final service of the Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Linda Sutter is the minister of the morning service. Now, this tape begins with a prophetic word to Irma and I, and whoever else can receive it.
Now, I feel a little bit like Dick Mel said. This is first for here, All right, for Jerusalem.
But it can go out into Judea, into Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth, and you can lay on to this too. A new day is coming. A new day is at hand. So rise up in power and go into the land. Lift up your praise unto Jesus, your King, and I'll bring deliverance as my praises you sing. So walk in my word, yea, give it first place. Yea, walk in my word and stay full of my grace. For I am your Lord and I am your God. I'll anoint even your feet as on demons you trod. For my arm is yet strong, nay, it is not short. And I'll show myself strong as, and get this, devils you abort.
Amen.
There's a good abortion going on here. Hallelujah. We had a teaching on abortion, but this is a good one. Just give God the glory. A victory shout. Stand firm and stand fast and drive devils out.
Amen.
For your God is great and your God is true. And he's going to bless the good work that you do.
Amen. Are you going
to
preach, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Irma gets after me sometimes about, that it's late at night. Well, when I was a kid going to church, we never thought anything about service getting out at 11 o'clock or 11:30 or even 1 o'clock. We never thought a thing about it. We went home and got up at 5 o'clock and milked the cows. Yeah. And there's no difference then than now, except in your head. That's right. We milked 35 head of cows night and morning by hand. I went to church every night and helped in tent meetings and around the country. Did all that. Anyway, I'm going to read a couple of verses here from the 24th chapter of Luke. And it says, "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And as they talked together of all these things which had happened." Now, that's what's happened to a lot of you this week. And you're going on your road to Emmaus. Many of you have already gone today. They left yesterday and today. The rest of you will be leaving, most of you today. You're going out down the road to Emmaus to talk about the things that's happened to you. And then to ponder them in your heart. And the Spirit of the Lord will go with you, just as Jesus walked up here to these two and communed with them. You can commune with the Lord as you travel, as you work. And the Spirit of the Lord can rest with you, and you can rejoice in the Lord. But this week, you've met with the Lord. And now you're going down the road to Emmaus, towards Emmaus, wherever that is in your life. And it's up to you to stand strong in the things of the Lord, not back up one inch, and to be strong in the things of the Lord. Today is Passover weekend, and in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16, it says, "Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty." Today, this is the place that's chosen. And I'm going to move this back, and I want every male to come and stand across the front of this platform before here. Every man, come and stand up here and appear before the Lord. Just line up here. Move up so they can put another row behind you. Move up so they can be another row behind you. Well, let him alone, honey. That's all right. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord says that we are to appear before the Lord. That's never been changed. It's still in force. And so today we come to appear before the Lord. As the head of the household, the priest of the house, we come to present ourselves, myself, we come to present ourselves unto the Lord. For His service, for His calling, whatever that may be, wherever it may be and whatever it may be. Father, we have come. We come and present ourselves before You for Your service. Lord, we come to be used for Thy kingdom. Lord, I bind every man present in this room and on these grounds. Take authority over every male on these grounds. And I bind them to the head of, to the kingdom of the living God and give them the authority to be head of their household in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You for using us for Thy kingdom and Thy glory as we come to present ourselves before Thee. And I thank You for it, the privilege of it, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise You, Jesus. You may be seated. Linda Sutter is going to minister to us this morning the word of the Lord. However, it comes through her by the Holy Ghost. We appreciate Linda and her ministry and her help here at the campground and her dedication to minister not only in song, but to minister unto the people, both the word of the prophetic word and the word of the Lord. And it's a privilege to have her minister this final service of the camp meeting.
Lord knew what He was doing when I came to Lake Hamilton. Praise the Lord, He gave me a new set of parents. My other parents are with the Lord. When they were up here this morning talking about what it was like when they were a kid, I wanted to get up here and be able to do them one better, you know, and say, when I was a kid, we did it this way, but I don't really have any stories to tell. I just know that when we were kids, we always found plenty of time to have a good time and get up and go to work the next morning. And probably a lot of us can say that. I didn't know about the move of the Spirit. I grew up in a home that believed in God, believed in Jesus. We went to church on Sunday morning. We said our prayers at night. We said prayer over our food. And today I can say that, you know, I'm the only one in my family that is baptized in the Holy Spirit. And most of my family are still in a very traditional church background. And many of them love the Lord. And I don't know why God picked me out of my household, put a hunger in my heart for the things of the Spirit. And there's many things I could look to that you know, aided in my hunger for the Lord, many things that happened as a child growing up. But I just, you know, you just have to say it's the sovereignty of God. And there's probably many of you here this morning that maybe you're the only ones in your own family. You stand alone. But I'll tell you what, God has chosen you to be the light to them. You know, when we start out in this, we'd rather be a light to anybody but our own family. And I remember the first time I ever received a personal word of prophecy, part of the promise in it was that I would be a light to my own kin. And I thought about being a light to the Africans, being a light in India, but I didn't particularly feel called to be a light to my own people. But you want to know something? Over the years, as I look back, that's exactly what God has done. He has caused me to be a light to my own people. And you know, they know your down sittings and uprisings better than anybody else. And when they can see the Lord working in you or seeing that God has done something in you, you know, that really means quite a bit. Because they know you when you are anything but religious. Amen? The sovereignty of God has brought us to this place today. The sovereignty of God has chosen you to walk with Him. Put a hunger in your heart for the things of God. Now, this morning I want to talk. I hope I can, trust I can send us home with something that we're going to be able to walk in. I want to talk about faith this morning. Not just faith, but I'm going to also talk about fantasy. Faith and fantasy. And let's start by turning to the book of Hebrews and then we'll pray over the word. Heavenly Father, we pray the word would be quickened to us this morning, that it will take root and grow in our hearts, bear fruit 100-fold in the kingdom of God. And as well as everything else that has happened in this camp meeting and the deliverances that have taken place and the word of the prophetic word that has come over all of us this weekend, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that this word too will effect change in our hearts and will cleanse and quicken and make us alive. We believe that today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us in another place in Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if we are going to walk with the Lord, be pleasing to Him, we have to be people of faith. Now, a few weeks ago, I began thinking about the fact that many of us, at one time or another, have been led by fantasy. And I tried this out on the home folk here a couple of weeks ago. I ministered on this, maybe not in exactly the same way that I will this morning. And that's one of the blessings of being here on the campground. You know, there's just a few of us between camp meetings, and so you may feel you've got something from the Lord and you try it out on the home folks first. And if it goes, you know, and if we're sufficiently made uncomfortable by it, including myself or whoever is ministering the word, if we're sufficiently uncomfortable and challenged, then I figure that we can begin to minister it here in the camp meeting and in some other places. And as we ministered the word that morning, I believe all of us, to some extent, were convicted and made a little bit uncomfortable. And, you know, that's what the word is supposed to do. It's supposed to convict us and encourage us. And so I want to share with you some of the things that the Lord had quickened to my heart and I shared with the home folks 2 weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And we'll start in Chapter 11, because we call that the faith chapter. Now, we find that there are some interesting parallels between faith and fantasy. And sometimes when we endeavor to walk in faith, other people think that we are fantasizing, we're off on a wild goose chase. You know, it's kind of like when somebody tells you, you know, that you are a New Ager, when you talk about the kingdom being established on this earth. And I bristle if somebody suggests that anything I say is in any way related to the New Age, because I know it isn't. And some of the things that I've read and some of the teachers that I've sat under, when somebody who doesn't understand will say, well, that's just New Age teaching. Well, Jesus taught us to pray, and one of the things that He taught us in the Lord's Prayer is that we are to pray that His kingdom come, and that His will be done on this earth. And so I believe that Jesus is establishing a kingdom on this earth. Amen. And that I am going to be part of that kingdom. Even now I'm a part of that kingdom that is being formed on this earth, that is going to be made visible to this eye right here. That doesn't make me a New Ager, because the blood of Jesus has, first of all, cleansed me from sin. And because I've been cleansed from sin by His blood, that makes me a candidate to walk in the kingdom. And you can't walk in a kingdom without first being washed in the blood. And by the same token, as we talk about faith this morning, we're going to talk about fantasy in a little bit, because all of us, at one time or another, I believe, have been motivated by fantasy. But if we look at chapter 11, and we're just going to kind of scan the chapter and look at a couple of verses, that we see that these people that we call patriarchs of the faith, it says something interesting things about them and about Abraham. It says when God called him in verse 8 to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, it says he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now, if we're going to look at this thing realistically, we would say that he was on a wild goose chase. He left. He took his family. I gave a sermon on this here also one time to the camp family about the life of Abraham, and it talks more about him starting in Genesis chapter 12. But he packed up everything he had, and he went out because he had the word of the Lord. And he went through some trials, too, when he went out. And when you and I move in faith, it's not always going to be easy. We're going to make mistakes along the way, perhaps. But we may go out in faith not exactly knowing where we're going to go. As I was working on this and thinking about it, I thought about the vision that God gave Glenn a number of years ago. I haven't sat down and talked to him about it, but I would not be surprised if some of his kinfolk thought he was on a wild goose chase.
My wife.
Well, she says that herself. You know, I mean, what person who is walking in reality has a vision about a place with a stream running down through it and all this sort of thing, you know, and people are going to come from all over the world and get deliverance? And he's been making tapes for the last few years. You know, that does not sound like reality. But God had spoken to him. And there are those of you here this morning, just by virtue of the fact that we're the size of the congregation we are, I know this, that there are those of you that God has spoken some things to you, and it has been God. Maybe it hasn't come to pass yet. Maybe not everything has been set in motion, but I'll tell you what, I want to encourage you to be like these Old Testament patriarchs. Let's see some of the things that was said about them. Starting at verse 11. Now it says of Abraham that he was looking for a city that had foundations, whose architect and builder was God. And then it goes on and it says, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. How many can say this morning that they consider God faithful who has promised things to you? Sometimes we get discouraged and we think, Lord, do you care anymore? I mean, I think I've heard that here this weekend. It's kind of our human nature. It is human nature, and we're not following after the human nature. But it's human nature to get discouraged and to begin to look at the situation round about us rather than at the things God promised to us. And it says he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. And all these people were still living by faith when they died. Now, sometimes people will say, and Brother Harris was talking about it the other morning when he was talking about people who were called the never dies and people that had a glimpse and a vision of something, but they died not receiving the promise that I believe God put in their hearts. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. I believe we can say that here this morning, can't we? We're looking for another country. We're looking for a new order. I remember many years ago when I was in the business community, and it was election time, and a lady that I was working with, she wasn't a Christian, but she looked at me and she said something that I've never forgotten. She says, I am sick and tired of this old order. And she was talking about the political system. She says, I am longing for a new order. And I says, I want to tell you something. So am I. I'm sick of this old order. I am looking for a new order. I don't think it's exactly the same as the one you're looking for, but there's a cry in my heart for things to be new as well. We look at these things, see them afar off, and it's things that God has put within our heart. And it says something else about them. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. And you know, if we are moving in faith, we are not going to have our mind on the place where we've come from. But we're going to have our vision and our mind on the place that we're going to. Forgetting the things that are behind and pressing forward towards the mark of the high calling, the upward call in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul said. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them, and he has prepared a city for us today. It says at the end of the chapter, chapter 11, it said they were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Last verse. because God plans something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And so we see that God is doing something today, and He did something back then, and there's going to be a joining together of that which He did in a former day, and in the cry that He put in the hearts of those people, and in the cry that He's put within our hearts, there's coming together of those two, and together we're going to be made perfect. Does that make sense to you? Do you hear what I'm saying? I think it's interesting. We're all in this together. Nobody is in this walk by themselves. God calls us individually, but He calls us to be part of a corporate man, a corporate body. I don't think we sang the song this weekend. I was going to the other night, and it didn't seem to fit with the song service, and so we went on. But often we sing the song here that we're gathered as the body of the Lord. And we worship Him in one accord. We're His hands, we're His feet, we're His ears, we're His eyes. And we're all together in this. And that is why we have to be very careful in our relationship with one another, what we say about one another, how we react to one another, because we are speaking about part of our body, part of the body that we're part of. Kind of interesting, isn't it? It's kind of sobering when we think about it. Now we look back at verse 1 of chapter 11, and it tells us what faith is. Now we've all heard ministry about faith. We've all heard sermons on faith. And I like the way it says it in the New International Version, because it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. How many know that they know that they know that they know? Not just that you know, but that you know that you know that you know. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, if you look over in the book of Jude, it's talking about in the end time, and I'm going to get into this a little more. In the end time, it talks about people who are scoffers and follow their own ungodly desires. And it says in verse 19 of Jude that these are men who divide you and who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. When somebody says to us, let's be real here, let's be realistic, let's be practical. And I want to be practical. I'm kind of impractical sometimes. And so I strive to be practical. But if we are following just natural instincts and just looking at things with a natural eye, we are not people of faith at all. We are being led by natural instincts, and that is not the kind of thing that's going to please God. That puts us on the wrong side. Now, we're talking about what faith is. But I also want to talk about fantasy this morning, and especially in the charismatic move, and in people who have been baptized in the Spirit, people who have had wonderful, and some of us have had wonderful experiences with God. Some of you have had marvelous experiences with the Lord. And people who did not understand, you know, just shake their head. They don't understand the things of the Spirit. They don't understand the way of the Spirit. But there are times when we can be influenced by that which is not a faith, which is not the Spirit of God, which is fantasy. They are so similar, yet they are as apart as I was mentioning in the beginning, the New Age movement and the true kingdom message. So we've talked here a little bit about what faith is and how we are led by faith, even though we may not know where we're going. We know ultimately where we're going, but we may not see some of the steps in between and some of the things that are going to happen to us in between, but we know ultimately, we know that we know that we know. Now, faith, first of all, is based on truth, the truth of the Word of God. If you have faith in your heart, you can look in the Scripture and you can see all of those things in your heart substantiated by the Scripture. Now, fantasy is based upon that which is not in the Scripture. Now, it may have a semblance of truth to it, but in reality, it's fiction. You know, you could write this down on one, put faith on one side, and you could put fantasy on the other side. Faith is based on the Word of God, and fantasy My experience has been what I've seen when people move in this realm of fantasy is based on human ego, based on the great things that they are going to do. Now, faith is always going to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to lift Him up. And fantasy exalts self. And when we are moving in faith and walking in faith, exalting Jesus, and it's based in the Word of God, it's going to bring about changes in our life and in our walk, and it's going to be a walk in repentance. It's going to be a walk that's based on the truth and the reality of the cross. And when if we're moving in fantasy, if one is moving in fantasy, it does not really deal with sin. Covers it up. And faith, when we move in faith, the motives of the heart are pure. And when one moves in fantasy, the motives aren't really very pure. Wrong motive. Motives for money. Motives for a claim, for a great name. And you know, faith is also, and I believe when we were ministering here and laying hands on people, there was somebody, maybe one or two last night, that I prayed for, and God showed me that He had put within them a supernatural gift of faith. It is one of the gifts of the Spirit. A gift of faith. And on the fantasy side, it is a false thing. And not a true gift of faith. Now, for all of the gifts of the Spirit, we can see that there's a false gift as well. Where there's true discerning of spirits, there's a false discerning of spirits. The true word of knowledge, there is the false word of knowledge. And when we talk about the false, it is interesting. Let's turn over here to Ezekiel chapter 13, because God has another word for example, false prophecy. In verse 13, or in chapter 13, He's condemning false prophets. And He says in chapter 13, verse 8, He said, "Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, because of your false words and lying visions, I am against you, declares the Sovereign Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter," and I want you to hear this, "lying divinations." Fantasy is related and is right with divination. And what is divination but witchcraft? And that is the occult. Now, it is interesting that so we see the judgment that God is bringing on false dreams, false visions. Now, if we consider the end time that we're living in, how many believe we're living in the end time? I mean, we've been hearing that all week, all weekend. And we talk about, when we hear about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places, in different places, we say, well, we must be living in the end time. Because we know that these are identifying features of the end time. Over in Matthew, let's look at Matthew 24 for a moment. Because, see, His disciples were talking to Him, and they said, "Tell us, when will this happen?" Jesus was talking about things that were going to come to pass. And He said, and they said, "When will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus, the next two chapters, talks about the end times. And the very first thing that Jesus says to them is, "Watch out that no one deceive you." So we see that deception is one of the most identifying marks of the end time. Not just wars and rumors of wars, but deception is a mark of the end time. And we see, as you read down through 24, He is continually saying to them, "Watch out that no one deceive you." And He says in the same chapter in verse 11, He says, "Many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people." And then it says also in verse 24, He says, "For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders." Great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if it were possible. Now, I like to consider this morning that I am the elect of God. And I want to believe that you are the elect of God that are seated here this morning. And yet Jesus is telling us, the elect, that we are not to be deceived. So as well as seeing all of these other things happening, I believe we have to really keep our spiritual eyes open and say, Lord, show me, show me, show me. Let me know. Now the scripture says that his sheep know, hear his voice. And another they will not follow. We have these promises. But I'll tell you what, I've seen many who have been very much influenced by fantasy, which I want to say again is related to witchcraft and the occult. It's divination. Now in Jeremiah chapter 38, there is the account when there is a false prophet whose name is Hananiah. And Jeremiah has just been prophesying that God's people are going to go into captivity for 70 years. And I'll tell you what, Hananiah was moving in fantasy and deception because he says, oh, don't worry about it. You're only going to be in captivity 2 years. You know, Jeremiah must have been quite an individual because, is it 38 that we're talking about? Is it 28? 28, beg your pardon. Yes. Because when Hananiah took the yoke and he said, this is what the Lord says, in the same way will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, off the necks of the nations within 2 years. And when Jeremiah heard that, he just walked out. And it wasn't long after that that Jeremiah got a word of prophecy again. And he went to Hananiah and he said, this is what the Lord says, you have broken a wooden yoke, but in its place you will get a yoke of iron. And he also prophesied to Hananiah that he was going to die. And in that year, and in the seventh month, Hananiah died. And God says in the very next chapter, he says, do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them. And I'll tell you, if it were possible for the elect to be deceived, we are going to hear things spoken in churches, because I believe the elect gather together in churches. We're going to hear things spoken in churches that are not going to be right. Every time we hear a thus saith the Lord, it is not necessarily thus saith the Lord. And I don't believe there's one thing wrong with us listening with a discerning ear, whether this be God or not. I mean, Paul admonishes us in the book of Corinthians that we are to listen and we are to judge the prophecies that we hear. Now, some of the other identifying features of fantasy. Now, we've said that fantasy is based on ego. It exalts self. It doesn't deal with sin. The motives are not right. It is a false gift. And you know, there may have been a time when somebody was moving in a pure gift. And I have seen this happen. And then for whatever may have happened, and it's usually a result of sin coming into the life, that gift gets perverted and it gets turned and another spirit takes over. In fact, I think that's what happens a whole lot of the time. And so our protection is to walk in repentance and to stay under the blood. That is our protection. I believe God can keep us, but we let these other things come in and pervert the grace of God and pervert the Word of God. We are prime targets for another spirit coming in to take over. Now, one of the other identifying features of fantasy and fantasy operating in people is that I see it as in people that never come under any kind of authority. Now, I want you to hear me good on this. I'm just going to go where the Lord leads me. I know people that go to a different church every Sunday because, well, the Lord is leading them over there. And, you know, they're blessing seekers. Just want to go. Or maybe they want to go and prophesy. And one church doesn't accept their prophecies anymore. So they go over and they're going to prophesy in another church till they're not accepted there. And then they'll go on to another one. It is not the right spirit. And, you know, there are people that I love who I see moving in this kind of thing. And you try to talk to them and it's like talking to a brick wall. It is fantasy to think that you're going to be in the Spirit all the time. I just am going to go along and you know, faith will see things. But fantasy never sees anything bad as far as I'm concerned. You know, people just kind of go along with their head in the clouds. Oh, isn't Jesus wonderful? And just flit around. And I've already mentioned that fantasy doesn't line up with the Word. Another mark of fantasy is to seclude yourself from the body of Christ. I mean, you don't have to think about that very long. I mean, the Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. As a manner of some is, that is fantasy. And I want to mention another one, identifying feature of fantasy. Fantasy says that we'll never make mistakes, we'll be totally led of the Spirit. Now, maybe it was Dr. Null last night, or I can't remember who it was, or Dick Mills, I can't remember, said, you know, we've made mistakes. Maybe it was Brother Mills that said that yesterday morning. We do make mistakes. We are still in flesh and blood. We are not 100% totally walking in the Spirit. We're striving for that. I'm striving for that. But I can't say that I have gotten there yet. And it is fantasy to assume that you're not going to make mistakes. If you look at the book of Acts, all you have to do is study the ministry of Paul and his journeys to know that he had difficulty ascertaining the will of God for himself at times. You know, we labor at times praying, Lord, we want your will to be done, and then we kind of wonder what to do. We get a little confused at times, but, you know, we walk in faith and not by sight. We go out trusting that God is going to lead us. And we can be walking in faith and be a child of faith, be a child of Abraham, and make some horrendous boo-boos. But if our heart is right, our attitude is right, the mercies of God will cover that, and we can go on just as if it never happened. Now, there is a lot, and I want to mention this a little more. There is a lot of prophecy that has come that is not prophecy, is this divination. Now, you hear some of the ministries here talk about the latter rain movement. And I was just, 4 or 5 years old when the latter rain movement was strong. And so I never had the privilege of being touched by that. But I've been touched by people's lives that were in that latter rain move. And I have found that people who were touched positively by that move of the Spirit in 1948, 1949, I see something in their life that has endured, that has been preserved. There's a lady that comes here who's been out, she's been sick, been in the hospital, who plays the organ here, who was part of the latter rain movement. And when you sit and begin to talk about the things of God, something begins to just rise up as you sit and visit with her. And you can feel that Spirit rising up in her. And as we sing sometimes, you feel that Spirit rising in her. And I've seen that not only with her, but with many others who were part of that move of the Spirit. So in a way, I have been touched by it. But something happened that caused the denominational church and the organized church to say, oh, that can't be of God, because there were some that were began to move that were not moving in a true prophetic word, but it was a false prophecy. And people began to be led by false prophecy. Well, you know, it's like I heard somebody say one time in the book of Job, when it says, when the sons of God came and appeared before the Lord, Satan also came. So when there's a move of the Spirit, there's also going to be the other that's going to be there. And we don't write it off and say it's not of God because we see something that isn't right. We embrace the good and we shun the bad. Hallelujah. But I have been in services and things have been treated as the Word of the Lord when it hasn't been, because it hasn't lined up. I think it was Earlene that said one time, maybe here in a message, that she heard a prophetic word in church that you will have no problems. Just worship me and you'll have no problems. Well, we know that's not true. That's fantasy. If we read all of Hebrews 11, I mean, it says they were sawn in two. It said, just look at the latter part of the chapter. They were killed. Their blood was spilt. They had some problems that I haven't had yet, that I'm not looking forward to having. You know, in Acts chapter 8, there is an account of a man who came in. People were getting saved left and right. There was a real revival going on. And a man came in, and I think he's the epitome of divination. This was when Philip had gone to Samaria. People were getting saved. People were getting delivered. And Simon the sorcerer, he had practiced sorcery in the city, and it says he had amazed all the people of Samaria. And it says he boasted that he was someone great. And all the people high and low gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the great power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic, with his divination. But then they saw something better. I mean, they had been pagans up to this time, but they saw something better. And it says when Philip came, they believed Philip in the gospel that he preached. And things, even though Simon seemingly became a believer, there was things that weren't right in his life yet. There was demons in his life. And the motives of his heart were exposed. And he offered money. Undoubtedly, people had given him money. And so he offered money because he saw that they had power that he didn't have. And it was Peter that when Peter and John came down, that Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you." And he had the discerning of spirits to know what was really operating in this man. And he told him to repent because he was full of all kinds of bitterness. And I believe the word of the Lord to us is that we become wise. And that we be discerning. I don't think it's any mistake that last night that when we came, when all of you came up for prayer, it was specifically for the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. I don't recall that we have ever done that here before. And we prayed for other gifts of the Spirit to be evident in you, but particularly these three. This is what God wants for you. And once for me. Now, there are some of you here this morning that have received false prophecies. I don't have one bit of problem with one single word of prophecy that I have heard here this weekend, the personal words that have been given, that Brother Mills gave, and every single one of them were based on the Scripture. And some of you, I know, and when I heard those words given, I thought, wow, isn't this wonderful? Word that was given to me, I was absolutely thrilled. I don't believe there was any divination moving in what we had here this weekend. I believe it was a pure word of the Lord. But there are some who have been touched by false prophecy. Fantasy, false prophecy. Some of you have, as I said before, have moved in fantasy. And people have prophesied over to you, and they have moved in fantasy, and you've received it in fantasy. I have seen ministries, and I hesitate to even call them ministries, but have prophesied all kinds of fantastic ministries, and you're going to do this and that, and thousands will come and fall down before you, and all this kind of stuff, and people get all elevated. I know a situation that happened up in Iowa. And this man received a so-called prophetic word, and he had six children, immediately the next day, and it was about how God was going to use him in different ways, he went out the next day, and these words, you know, generally are conditional, but this word was flowing in all kinds of fantasy that he received. I was there, I heard it. This man went out the next day and quit his job. He went out and he rented an office. And he put a shingle over his door, marriage counseling. And his own marriage was a pits at that time. And he waited for the hundreds to come through the door that he could minister to, because that's what the prophetic word had said. And you know what happened? Nobody came. He ran out of money. He took out bankruptcy. His wife practically divorced him. I think they're together now. They lost their house, lost the respect of the community, because he was moving in fantasy. And I believe the word was in fantasy that was given to him. And I think that which caters to the ego, I mean, fantasy is based on ego when it's operating in a person, but it'll also minister to the ego in other people. And some of you have received false words, and maybe you have been hesitant, or maybe, you know, it's put a cloud over you, or other people remember it and remind you of it. But you see, there's one thing better than having received a false word and even moving in it. The mercies of God can be visited to you. And I mean, He forgives us where you've moved in that realm of fantasy, and we can start over afresh in this day and walk out the door this afternoon in faith. We're going back to our homes. We're going to go in faith. You know, sometimes when we come to a convention or a camp meeting, you know, we get all stirred up. And we hear good teaching, we're going to go back and we're going to make it work. And we get these high and lofty ideas, and it doesn't. Well, I want you to go back all encouraged and rejuvenated by the Word of the Lord, but I want us all to go in faith this morning. Faith in the promises of God. And we have heard, I don't know how many times this weekend, that this is a new day. God is making things new for us. He's changing our circumstances. And we can go in that faith and know that we know that we know that we know that we know that God is changing it. There's a lady sitting in the back row over here with kind of a pink blouse on. I think you're maybe from Texas. Yes. And I believe God is speaking to me right now for you. That there have been mistakes in the past, and there have been things that have happened in the past that have been heartbreaking to you, and there have been things that have come out of fantasy. But God is saying He's going to change that. He's visiting you with mercy today, and you can go home today knowing that God has forgiven and He has cleansed and things are changed, and you can go knowing that you are going to hear the pure voice of the Lord, and it's not going to be that confusing voice that another spoke to you in a previous day and brought about confusion, but it will be the pure word of the Lord that God is speaking to you, and it's going to come up out of your own heart, your own spirit, through the word. It's not even going to come as a prophetic word from somebody else, but it's going to come into your own spirit, and it's going to cause faith to rise in your heart in a way that you haven't known before. So rejoice, for this really is a new day for you. It isn't going to be like it was, where there was this going back and forth in confusion and hitting your head on one wall and then another because of what other people have told you to do and directed you to do, even with a so-called prophetic word. But you will have heard the word in your own heart, and it will change your circumstances. Hallelujah. Now we can all take that word this morning, can't we? We can take it and receive it. I learned that from Brother Mills this weekend, that I'm going to take it. Amen. How did he say it? I beg your pardon? I'll take that. All right. Let's stand right now and let's just lay aside all of that which has been of the false. And where we haven't come under authority, there are some of you here who have not in the past really come under authority. Not really. And so we're going to pray and ask God for each of us that will come under authority. We bring down the rebellion in our own lives. And if a thought has come to your mind of some high and lofty ambition that doesn't line up with the Word, we're going to lay those things aside this morning too. Just ask God to forgive you when you let that fantasy come into your life. You know, I'm going to tell you something while we're standing. Many years ago, I've never forgotten this, there was a lady that I knew I had worked with at one time. This happened about, I can now say things that have happened 20 years ago. This is almost 20 years ago this happened. And she liked me because she sensed the Spirit of the Lord in me. And she went to a church, I found out later, I didn't know it at the time, was moving in spiritism. It was really a spiritist church. And she would have me come over to her house and play the piano and sing because she felt the anointing on the music and on the worship. And I knew that she was kind of strange in some ways, but I thought, well, I'll just minister Jesus. And so I'd sit there and play the piano and worship the Lord and sing, "There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place." And she'd stand there and she'd raise her hands as well. And they didn't really do that in that particular group that she was part of. And she believed in healing and other things that I believed in. But as I said, I had found out that it was really a spiritist church. And a lot of spiritist churches minister healing. I want you to know that. And I remember this one time as I was sitting there playing the piano, I began to have a vision. And I was living in Minneapolis at the time that this happened. And then I began to see all these great things that I was going to do for God. And I never told anybody. This is the first time I have ever mentioned it. But I want to tell you something. It was not the Spirit of God. I thought it was at first. But there I was, hobnobbing with a spirit that was not of the Spirit of God, and we shouldn't be doing that sort of thing. It was kind of an innocent ambition on my part, but on the other hand, it was not wise to be with that other spirit, and I was the only one there. Now, if I'd had others with me that were of the same spirit that I was, it would be a little different. But I was the only one. And I realized much later that I had been influenced by that spirit in her, and it was giving me a false vision and a false idea of what I was going to do for God. And that may have happened to you. And so this morning, as we stand in the presence of the Lord, I want you to, and I've repented. I repented of that a long time ago when God brought it to my attention that it was not His Spirit that had given me this vision. It was a lying vision. So I want us to repent this morning where we've received lying visions and believed them. Where we've received prophecies and given prophecies that were lying prophecies. Would you do that this morning? Let's just do that right where you stand. People say, "Well, you know, I only do what God tells me to do. I only go where God tells me to go. I only speak what God tells me to say." Let's repent of that kind of thinking. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for the blood that cleanses. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for cleansing our minds this afternoon. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for cleansing our motives. We give You our ambitions today, Lord. We give You ourselves afresh. And our desire, Lord, is to be people of faith and not people walking in fantasy and being motivated by fantasy and lying spirits and lying prophecy, lying wonders and lying visions. We repent of those this morning, Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for cleansing us. And Lord, we take, and I want You to, where there's been an open door in Your life to receive this. There was an open door in my life to receive that lying vision that time. And we want to close that door. Take back the ground You have given Satan. Cancel the right that Satan has had to you in that area where you may have gone to a fortune teller or whatever that opened up an area so that that spirit could come in and deceive you. And so, Lord, wherever we opened up our spirit in any way, we repent of that this morning. And God will show you as we stand right here. He'll show you where you opened yourself up. Can you say it with me? I cancel your right, Satan.
I cancel your right, Satan.
And I take the blood of Jesus,
Jesus,
for my cleansing this moment.
For my cleansing this moment.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now stay standing. I have another scripture to read to you in Revelation 18. It's talking about the fall of Babylon. And it says of Babylon, it says, "By your magic spell." And that is the word pharmakia. We've had teaching on that. By your magic spell, which is speaking of drugs and it's speaking of witchcraft. By your witchcraft and all the nations were led astray. That's speaking of the Babylonian system in Babylon. And then it says, "In her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and of all who had been killed on the earth." And her demise is being spoken of right here. Now, I want to tell you, we're all that is all around us all the time. Some years ago, I gave a series of messages on the about the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And I know this refers to church ages, but at the time it was also literal churches at that time. And it was interesting as I studied about each one of those cities that all of them had witchcraft all around them. And even though there is witchcraft, occultism, all of these things all around us, we can be pure in the midst of it. We don't have to be part of it. We can be overcomers in the midst of it. Praise the Lord. And so I want to encourage you in that. You say, oh, I'm going home, and I hear this absolutely every single place I go. I've heard it in every other country I've been in, as well as every city I've ever been in the United States. And you say, oh, the presence of the Lord is so wonderful here. And it's just hard to worship the Lord back in our community because there's so much witchcraft, there's so much sin. I'll tell you what, God is greater than that. You let the Lord begin to do a work in you, and it'll be greater than all of those spirits round about, especially the spirit of divination. Now, in chapter 21, it's talking about the... Chapter 14. I haven't said the verse yet. It's verse 4. It's talking about God's elect again. And it said, these are they who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. That's talking about a system, a whole world and a system. It says, they follow the Lamb wherever He goes. How many this morning can say that you want to follow the Lamb wherever He goes? If you follow the Lamb wherever He goes, you are going to be walking in faith. Praise the Lord. So, Father, just keep that hand up. You see our uplifted hands this morning, Heavenly Father. You see that you have a people here who desire to follow you wherever you go. And in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that each one, as they go out of the door and on their way to their home, that that can be their testimony when they come back next time, that they are following the Lamb wherever He goes. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother, I want to say a word to you before we dismiss, because God is showing me that you've gone on many side trips, many paths, and there's been confusion in some of the places that you've been. And God is saying that if you will wait on Him and shut yourself in and really seek His face and wait upon Him, you're going to hear His voice again. You've been one that has heard different voices, and you've seen heard different people say different things. But God is saying that He's going to teach you to discern His voice in your own prayer closet, and that He's going to change your circumstances and break that spirit of poverty that has been over you and has thwarted your footsteps, and that He's going to cause new joy to come in your walk with the Lord, because it will be a walk that is based on faith and not on what other people have necessarily said to you. Amen. Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. I appreciate what Linda has taught this morning. It is timely and needed. We do not run after prophecies. And I am responsible for every word of prophecy that is given in this place, whether in my hearing or not in my hearing. And there have been some circumstances that have taken place that we are aware of in our the past, and that have happened on this campground that were not of God. And people received it because it was given here that they thought that it was of God. I want you to know that I do not agree, it may be right, but I do not agree with any word being given to anybody on this campground ever unless some minister is present when it is given. It may be God's word, it may be true, but I am not in agreement and I do not sanction it ever. And that's because of the problems that she was teaching us about that we are aware of that have happened in multitudes of people's lives that have caused shipwreck. That's right. So as you come here, you may think I'm hard, but that's the reason, and that's the way it is. And I may confront some of you sometime when I find you giving somebody a word or something somewhere, because that's out of order. The only place it's in order is if one of the ministries is present when you do it. It may be God, but it's still out of order, and you are in rebellion. You have a rebellious spirit when you do that. And you need to be delivered of that spirit of rebellion. And most of the time, you will find it's a woman, and the woman is in rebellion against her husband. Most of the time. Did you have something to add, Doc?
God is a God of order and discipline. He has set Brother Glenn in authority to him. And Brother Glenn says that there will be no prophecy given outside of this room. Then God will, and the Holy Spirit will... Well, the goal of the Holy Spirit will honor that, and if you try to give prophecy or words of knowledge or apart from that, it is not God. Now, I can say that because God is a God of honor. God is a God of order, and He just will not violate the rules that His anointed ministers have laid down to protect the sheep. And it's not God. It's just not God. It is you. Or some other spirit, even worse, it's either your spirit, your ego coming out of your spirit, or else it's an evil spirit. But it's not the Holy Spirit.
Now, I will relate an incident that happened here several years ago. People are so gullible. There was a person here who came here who we were told was a prophetess. And a certain party brought this person here. And that was fine. They came and sat in the congregation. And one day somebody come and said, there's a whole group of people down on the lake having a meeting. So we went down there to find out what was going on. And here was this so-called prophetess down there washing people's feet and drying them with her hair. She had hair way down to her hips, drying their feet with her hair and prophesying over them. And people were so gullible that there was a whole crowd down there instead of being up here. You see, you need discernment. That was the devil personified. And people were flocking to get this word of prophecy from this prophetess who was actually a demon spirit operating through her not only to cause confusion on the camp, but to bring havoc to people's lives. Because people were receiving it, and then, just like Linda was saying, you don't take a word of prophecy and go try make it work, because it will not work. When God does it, it'll work. Now, the campground. I had a vision. We don't follow visions. 7 years after we had the Lord gave me the vision, we found the campground. And even then, it was 2 more years before we even came here. And then it has been a daily process and work. It's a continuous work to establish the place, to build. When we came here, this place was brush. It was, and a goat couldn't have got through some of the place right out here. There wasn't anything that existed here. But it's been a daily process of work. And it's not something handed on a platter to you. If something comes handed on a platter to you, that's not God's way. God, you work for it. Paul worked for it. He said he worked to pay his own way. He made tents. People have got the idea that they're called to the ministry and everybody's supposed to support them and they're supposed to lay in bed and sleep till noon. That's not God. We get up and come to work here. We'll be back to work here in the morning at 8 o'clock. We'll be here to work. We won't take 2 or 3 days off to rest. We'll be right here in the morning to work. This place wouldn't exist if we didn't operate that way. It exists because we put our life into it. But we don't follow after visions and dreams, and neither do you. But when God brings it to pass, then it's God.
Okay. You know, there's one more thing I would really like to say. Glenn was talking about, made a comment to the women. Well, you know, I'd like to make a comment to us women, coming from one of your own. When I was a young Christian living in Minnesota, I used to go to a lot of prayer meetings and home meetings. And some of them were just wonderful, but some of them were a little strange. And I always had a heart for the miraculous. I wanted to see things happen, you know. And when I learned about personal prophecy, I was going to be the first in line to be prophesied over. And so I got some good ones and I got some bad ones. But over a period of time, I saw that it was generally us ladies who could be the flakiest. Now, I know that you men can be too, and I've seen that happen. But it seems that we women are more prone to emotional things, and we have to be careful. And I said to the Lord one day, I said, Lord, I says, why is it that it's the women who fall for all these charlatans that come through? And I prayed that for a couple of days, and then I was reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the scripture that said, speaking of these kind of charlatans, and it said, these are those that come in and lead captive silly women. Now it says in the New International Version, weak-willed women. But it doesn't stop there. We think, well, they're just silly women. But that's not it. There's more to it. It says, silly women laden with lust or laden with sins. And in the New International, it says it just a little bit differently, more descriptive than that. And I thought, that is the key. That it's silly women laden with sin. It's necessary to get rid of that sin. When we are walking under the covering of the blood of Jesus, there is a protection for us. And so I want to encourage all of the ladies and the men too, that we need to be continually walking in an attitude of repentance and not letting any sin have any stronghold in our life, because that's what opens the door for us to be led astray by these false words. How many this morning say, I've put it all under the blood of Jesus? Let's stand. We're going to pray over the food, and then we've got a song to sing. Give deed. Father, we thank you for the word this morning, for the word through this whole camp meeting. We thank you, Lord, that we are not the same as we were. And we thank you, Lord, now for the time of fellowship and the food. We ask your blessing upon it. And we thank you, Lord, for the angels to go with each one in their car and preserve each one from accident in Jesus' name. Now we're going to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes, because we're in God's army. Amen. God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is her song. Healing's in her hand. Everlasting joy. Gladness in their heart. And in this army I've got a part. Oh, God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is her song. Healing in her hand. Everlasting joy, gladness in their heart, and in this army I've got a part. Hallelujah. God bless you. See you next camp meeting.
This is my commandment, that we love one another, that our joy may be good. This is my commandment, that we love one another, that our joy may be full. That our joy may be full. That our joy may be full. This is my commandment, that we love one another, that our joy may be full.
Sing it again now.
This is my commandment, that you love one another, that our joy may be full. This is my commandment, that we love one another, that our joy may be full. That our joy may be full. That our joy may be full. Oh, this is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full.
Father, we've come today to thank you for Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your cleansing. Thank you for washing, Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you for the whipping post. Thank you for healing. Thank you for resurrection power in our physical bodies. We praise you for it today. We thank you for it, Father. And Father, we come to thank you for all that you've done and are doing in all of our lives, and what you've done this weekend, and what you're going to do to all these, Lord, that have gone home already, and those that will yet go. What the changes that they're going to find in their lives in the days ahead. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it.
Father, we come today once again to lift up our nation, lift up those in authority over us, and to take authority over the spirits of pleasure and the spirits of Antichrist that rule and reign in this nation, the spirits of drugs and alcohol. And I bind and break the assignment of Satan over this nation, the spirits of abortion and lust and pleasure. I break the curse of it over this nation, and I loose the Shekinah glory of the Holy Ghost to bring conviction upon the household of faith that will spread abroad through the land, that men will know that God rules and reigns in the hearts and lives of His people by the power of the Holy Ghost, and conviction shall come and cause men to, and women and boys and girls to call on the name of the Lord and repent and turn from their wicked ways, that You can heal our land and bless us as You would like to do. I thank You for it, Father. Now, Father, I thank You for Your presence here amongst us. Thank You for Your anointing over the praise and worship, and receive our praise and worship. For Father, You said that You dwell in the midst of it, so we thank You for being in our midst today as we praise and worship You. Then, Father, we thank You for Your anointing that rests over Linda as she ministers to us today the word of the Lord and the whatever prophetic word that You would give her, Lord. We thank You for it today as we've come to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hide Your word in our hearts, Lord, that we will not sin against Thee. And we thank You for Your presence and Your anointing. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.